For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, with the latest readout video from our Wednesday Wake Up email newsletter and greetings to Salt Lake City, where warmth is not news and which sits at number 40 on our all-time video view list. Also a greeting to folks in Venezuela. And if you don't live there, did you know that their last glacier was just demoted to an ice field? Or that this tropical, nearly equatorial nation even had glaciers? Well, it was, and it did. And a reader asked us how to answer an alarmist claim that this demotion proves that there's a man-made global heating crisis, which of course is being bleated in unison by the herd of independent media minds around the world, none of whom even knew this glacier existed until it afforded this week's opportunity to bang the climate apocalypse drum. In response, we said, as we usually do, go and check how long it's been melting. Because as a rule, the shrinking of glaciers demonstrates not that man is warming the planet, but that the planet is warming man. And in true scientific fashion, we wrote a draft reply and then went to check it out to see if our hypothesis worked. Si, senor, it most certainly is. That thing's been melting since before World War I. Most of the melting happened before World War II, and whenever the man-made climate breakdown thingy hit, surely it wasn't 1938. See, what we did is we went and looked at the actual research, unlike apparently the journalists. And, persevering down to figure 5 in the paper, we found this map showing that 98% of what was left in 1952 had melted by 2019. The blue stuff is what melted up to 1998, and then the green stuff is what melted by 2019. But a whole lot more of it melted between 1910 and 1952. That's the purple stuff. We don't know what happened before 1910 because ice doesn't leave much in the way of a fossil record and apparently nobody went and checked. But we do know that in Alaska's Glacier Bay, they've been in precipitous retreat since, what's this, 1750? Yes, there's far more retreat from 1750 to 1880 in Glacier Bay National Park than from 1880 to today. So there was some mighty climate change back in George Washington's day. But we don't think it was caused by us and our horse-drawn buggies. And this is a pattern that's typical around the world, including the Franz Josef Glacier in New Zealand, in case anyone tries to tell you that the Little Ice Age was regional or that it didn't happen. So what you actually learn from the melting of glaciers, including that one in Venezuela, is not that something weird started in 1958 or 1998 or 2000 or whenever the alarmists currently claim. It's that we're in a long-term warming trend that must be overwhelmingly natural because it started long before human CO2 was a significant factor in the atmosphere and has essentially maintained a steady pace since. And speaking of things that aren't there, Canary Media says, quote, landmark transmission reform could dramatically speed U.S. energy transition, end quote. Transition to complete dysfunction, apparently. The New York Times blares that, quote, new rules to overhaul electric grids could boost wind and solar power. Federal regulators on Monday approved sweeping changes to how America's electric grids are planned and funded in a move that supporters hope could spur thousands of miles of new high-voltage power lines and make it easier to add more wind and solar energy, end quote. And in the process, get rid of the types of generation that actually work. You see, quote, experts have warned that there aren't nearly enough high-voltage power lines being built today, putting the country at greater risk of blackouts from extreme weather, while making it harder to shift to renewable sources of energy and cope with rising electricity demand. A big reason for the slow pace of grid expansion is that operators rarely plan for the long term. The nation's three main electric grids are overseen by a patchwork of utilities and regional grid operators that mainly focus on ensuring the reliability of electricity to homes and businesses, end quote. So here's what's really going on in the American electricity system. When the people in power reproach existing providers for a, quote, focus on ensuring the reliability of electricity to homes and businesses, end quote, and then put it in the hands of people who think that having reliable power is bad, an obstacle to progress, then you're definitely going to see an increase in the risk of blackouts. But it won't be due to climate change, it'll be due to climate alarmism. Now, on the plus side, an outfit called Possible has told British drivers that they would save as much as 150 euros if they gave up their cars for a month, and then for good measure, Possible offered a mystery prize draw. And our sarcastic take on this is nothing. We're skeptical of the savings, because if they really were available, people would have discovered them on their own, and we're not convinced the prizes would be our cup of tea. But when you've got idiots out there blocking roads and attacking art and artifacts, and then some other group is using creativity and persuasion, we're very much on the side of the latter. In the newsletter, we also comment that here at CDN, we get a variety of interesting correspondence, and we appreciate it. Well, most of it. Including when an alert viewer asks us about Milankovitch cycles, which seem important to some other long-term natural climate cycles. Yes, those again. During the most recent ice age. The most recent ice age appearing to have started either 2.6 million years ago or 33 million years ago, depending whether you demand significant ice at both poles to call it an ice age or just at one, because there's been ice in Antarctica for about 33 million years, but at the North Pole, only about 2.6. And this question got us to thinking about Serbian geophysicist Milutin Milankovic, who challenged climate orthodoxy a century ago despite not being a climate scientist, as some would define the term, by arguing that this complex series of wobbles in the Earth's motion actually has a major impact on climate in the long run because they alter the amount and impact of incoming solar radiation. And if they do, you'd think it would always have been true, and that alarmists wouldn't be so determined to dismiss the concept of a major solar influence on climate. Now, the Milankovitch matter is a bit of a mathematical mess, because our planet's motion is variable in three main ways: eccentricity, obliquity, and precession. But there's also absidial precession and orbital inclination. And yes, you can Google that stuff, as you should, if you think that climate change is simple physics in this or any other way. But the key point is that all of these wobbles affect not CO2, but how much sunlight hits the planet and gets absorbed. And Milankovitch cycles are now orthodoxy. In their page on the cycles, NASA admits that they're important, and then it dismisses them, offering, quote, further reading on why Milankovitch cycles can't explain Earth's current warming here, end quote, which basically amount to, we know it's CO2, so shut up. But the cycles do seem to explain glaciations. So maybe they've operated for a very long time, but unless you're in an ice age, as we've been for the last 2.6 million years with the glaciations going on, they might have caused temperature fluctuations that weren't large enough to send glaciers galloping about, and therefore they didn't really leave much of a proxy footprint. Maybe the question isn't why they didn't operate before the Pleistocene, but why we don't know they operated. But however long Milankovitch cycles have been having some impact on the Earth's climate, when it comes to glaciations, there is a big so-called transition problem, and it's this. For the first 1.5 million years of the Pleistocene, the pattern of these glacials and interglacial intervals was on roughly a 41,000-year cycle, which apparently matches the Earth's obliquity cycle. But then for the last 1 million years, it switched to 100,000 years, which apparently matches the eccentricity cycle. And why did it do it? The truth is, nobody knows. Wikipedia tries to sew it up with CO2, of course, saying, quote, the mid-Pleistocene transition can now be reproduced in numerical simulations that include a decreasing trend in carbon dioxide and glacially induced removal of regolith, end quote. And yeah, sure, once you know what happened, you can kludge the models. Unfortunately, the scene that they sew up immediately rips open again because, quote, even the well-dated climate records of the last 1 million years do not exactly match the shape of the eccentricity curve. Eccentricity has component cycles of 95,000 and 125,000 years. Some researchers, however, say the records do not show these peaks, but only indicate a single cycle of 100,000 years, end quote. Gosh, climate sure is complicated, isn't it, kids? Almost as if it was nonlinear. But one ingenious solution to the transition problem is to say that there was no transition. Mike Jonas argued on What's Up With That that what you really have is a steady 21,000-year precession cycle, but not every single 21,000-year cycle is strong enough to create a tipping point that unleashes the glaciers. So that's one possibility. But another one has to do with the quality of the evidence. It's possible that you do get a glacial-interglacial cycle every 21,000 years, but not every interglacial is as dramatic as the recent Eemian, which was hotter than the current Holocene one for purely natural reasons, meaning they don't leave clear proxy traces. You see what's going on here? We don't know what happened, and we don't know why it happened, but otherwise it's all settled. And one of the things that's settled is that Milankovitch cycles totally explain glaciations, but must not be mentioned when the little ice age yields to a long, gentle warming, so shut up. They call that climate science. And they also call this climate science. No sooner did a freak accident on a Singapore Airlines flight kill a passenger with a pre-existing heart condition and injure dozens of others, seven of them critically, than the vultures swooped on the wreckage to blame climate change. For instance, Canada's state-funded CBC went with, quote, climate change is making turbulence worse, although deaths are still where experts say, end quote. It's not the experts saying that deaths are rare. They count deaths on flights. It's public knowledge. What the experts who say are saying, supposedly, is that climate change makes turbulence worse, or at least journalists say they're saying it. And if you say otherwise, get ready for the experts to wave the threat of a lawsuit at you, which is also not how science is done. In the newsletter, we also note that, to no one's surprise, the usual alarmists were raising the usual alarm about this year's hurricane season before it even started. And we were asking whether, if it proved to be a false alarm, they would even admit it, let alone apologize. It seems unlikely. But as of May 20th, thanks to Roger Pilkey Jr. for drawing this to our attention, the Northern Hemisphere hadn't yet had a named storm. And it's the first time since 1983 that we've gone this late in the year without a named storm. So what does that mean? A less stormy season than usual? Good heavens, no. Quote, the Atlantic hurricane season begins soon. Hold on to your butts. One reputable forecast team predicts 33 named storms. The Atlantic season formally begins on June 1st, and based on current trends, the first named storm may not develop until the middle of the month or later. But make no mistake, when the light switches on later this summer, this season is likely to be a blockbuster. Why? Because the oceans are screaming at us, end quote. No, they're not screaming at us. They're lapping at the shore. You're the ones who are screaming. In the newsletter, we also continue our Getting Worse series by looking at sea level rise, or as the cool kids call it, SLR. But the problem here isn't that sea level rise is getting worse. It doesn't seem to be. What is getting worse is the kind of excuses that government experts offer for continuing to promote extreme SLR scenarios. And here we turn to a Substack essay by the Breakthrough Institute's Jessica Weinkel, who reviewed the evolution of the projected SLR range produced by multi-agency groups in the US government between 2012 and 2022. And she writes that, quote, the scenarios have not actually changed much since 2012. Rather, what has changed is their justification, which has become increasingly untethered, end quote. As in, these high-end scenarios are still being pushed long after the rationale for them got washed away by the morning tide. In the newsletter, we also continue our Climate the Movie Fact Check series, this time looking at the claim that warming is not uniform on the thermometer any more than it is around the globe, that in fact, it's concentrated on the cold readings. In the film, Will Happer was quoted saying, quote, and that's certainly being observed all over the world. If you look at temperature records, the high temperatures are almost unchanged, but cold temperatures at night or during the winter are going up a little bit. Not very much, but you can measure it, end quote. And Stephen Koonin said, quote, when the average goes up, it's really more due to the coldest temperatures getting warmer. So the temperature's getting milder rather than getting hotter, end quote. And here our official fact check is a ringing, sort of, but there are exceptions. Overall, and especially in the United States, yes, nighttime lows are warming faster than daytime highs, and winters are warming more than summers, while summertime highs have barely changed on average. The reason for that is that they are higher in the West, but they're lower in the East. Moreover, globally, the pattern holds over the whole 20th century, but not recently in the Southern Hemisphere. So, apparently, climate is complicated. Who knew? And who knew that, as the CO2science.org archive confirms, cold weather harms agriculture? At any rate, that's the finding in a paper that looked at 1,000 years of data from northeast China, going from AD 961 to 1911, including the medieval warm period, yes, that again, and the Little Ice Age, yes, that again. Amazingly, farmers liked warmth because plants did, yes, that again. For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, and I'm not shedding tears over a long natural warming.